Welcome to the Moose Room, everybody. We have the OG3 here. Bradley's barely alive, but he is here. Emily is also here. And we have a guest today. Melissa Runk is here with us. She is the local educator for Pipestone and Murray counties. But today we're doing something a little different, kind of using Melissa as a guinea pig. We're going to try to do some county highlights where we really focus in on a county and say, all right, what's going on with agriculture in general, but mostly cows and dairy beef in that county. Before we get to that, we have very, very secret questions that are going to make Bradley, I think, super happy today, hopefully. But Emily, why don't you ask those questions for us?
Yes. It's been a while since we had like a new guest to ask the questions to, because we only ask us once. So we've had a lot of repeats lately. So this is exciting. So Melissa, super secret question number one, what is your favorite breed of dairy cattle?
Oh, of dairy cattle, I would have to say Brown Swiss.
Oh, okay.
That's a different one.
That is what I used to help my neighbors milk cows, and that's what they had. And they are the most stubborn things, probably closest in temperament to my favorite beef breed. So maybe that's why I like them.
Yeah, we don't get a ton of Brown Swiss. So that's a good answer. And it is not the answer Joe or Brad want. So it makes me happy. So where are we at on the tallies now, Joe?
All right. So I haven't done this for a while, but Holstein's unfortunately still up there at 23. Jersey's with 18. That puts Brown Swiss in third with 11. Then we've got Montbelliard at 3, Dutch Belted at 3, Guernsey at 3 with a shout out to Taffy, Normandy at 2, Milking Short Arn at 1, and Ayrshire at 1.
All right. I didn't realize Brown Swiss were already in double digits. So they're heartily in third place. Nice.
We've been doing this for a while.
We have. Well, we're episode, 200 and some. So yeah,
wherever we're at now.
All right, Melissa, super secret question number two. What is your favorite breed of beef cattle?
My favorite breed of beef cattle is the Herefords.
Yes, the correct answer. That is correct.
The only correct answer.
Exactly.
Yep, absolutely love my Herefords.
And because I know you raise cattle at home, is that what you guys have, Herefords?
That is what we have. We've got registered Herefords. And then I know you don't give out half a points, but Simmental would be my next favorite breed. We have those as well. Yes. But Herefords, definitely number one. Don't shake your head, Joe.
Yeah, that's not Joe's pick. I'm neutral. Brad has strong feelings, so.
I have very strong feelings.
Yes. You and Brad are together in this. So, Joe, where are we at with our tallies?
Okay. Black Angus at 16. Hereford's at 11 now. Black Baldy's at 5. Scottish Highlander's at 4. Charlet at 4. Red Angus at 3. Shorthorn at 3. Belted Galloway at 2. Brahmin at 2. And all with 1. Stabilizer, Galvey, Keenina, Simmental, Loray, Jersey, Normandy, Belgian Blue, Brangus, Piedmontese, White Park, and miniature Scottish Highlanders.
Can we go back to the black or to the Baldies? That to me, like, that's kind of indecisive. I think you have to pick one or the other.
Yeah, the black Baldy, that's Hereford, so you can add those tallies to the Hereford numbers. So
we debated for a long time, and I don't remember who gave the first vote on Baldies.
I believe it was John David, our friend from West Virginia Extension.
You're right.
I believe, because that's what he has, is mostly black Baldies. So I think he was the first one, and we allowed it. I allowed it because he's my friend. And so we just had to keep allowing it. I think that's how that happened.
Yeah, there was also someone who I think said Stabilizer, and we were all like, that's not really a breed, but we kept it and we allowed it. And I think Baldies are the only ones we're really allowing because they're the best mama cow. No one can really debate that on the commercial side. So I'm allowing it. It's fine. Emily started it, though. It's her fault.
It's our show. We can do what we want. We can allow what we want.
Well, only I can say that.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Brad. All right. We should get on to it. I'm excited to have Melissa here. I'm excited to learn more about Pipestone County And I think I'm going to start with kind of the easy gimme question here, but we do have a lot of listeners not from Minnesota. So Melissa, could you just maybe kind of briefly tell us where in the state of Minnesota Pipestone County is?
So we are in southwest Minnesota. We are not the very most southwestern county. We have Rock that is below us, but we border the South Dakota border way, way down here.
Yes, way in the corner.
Way in the corner.
And I have been there. It's lovely country.
Right, it is. It is.
So Pipestone County, before we get into ag stuff, I think there's always, it's always fun to explore why things are named the way they are, right? So I actually know this answer because I had some time to kill and I went to all sorts of different parks down by Pipestone and did some hiking. And so I discovered this and I thought it was kind of cool. So why is Pipestone County named Pipestone?
Pipestone is named after the Pipestone. So there's actually quarries around the county down by Rock County that they contain Sioux quartzite, which is what a lot of our historical buildings are actually made out of. It was, you know, when the settlers showed up here, how many, you know, hundreds of years ago, there, of course, were no trees in this plains area. So they use that to build a lot of the buildings that are here. Within that Sioux quartzite, there is a softer rock that the Native Americans use to carve their pipes out of, hence the name Pipestone. So the white settlers are actually the ones that named it that Pipestone, and then they named the actual county seat Pipestone, and then the county is obviously named Pipestone as well. So, and yeah, Joe was at the National Monument. We have that here in Pipestone. It's about 300 acres. There's not actually a true monument. It's not just like one thing. But yeah, it's about 300 acres and it's got, native prairie, obviously a lot of different types of native grasses. And then you can actually see, you know, you can walk up on the carved out pathways that you can tour. You can go up, there's some bridges, beautiful waterfall.
I was going down to southwest Minnesota and I did not honestly expect to have any hiking to do. And kind of the bluffs and the big rock formations I always associate with southeast Minnesota, but there's some there in southwest as well. It's not just flat and corn. It really isn't. So that's I was pleasantly surprised.
We have some rocks. We have some hills. They're just not very tall.
Yeah, I call it rolling rather than
right.
The drastic bluffs of the southeast. All right, so we've covered some of the non-ag stuff. We got to get into ag, you know, and we're really touring the county when it comes to agriculture. So if you only had, you know, a couple minutes, an elevator speech on what happens in Pipestone when it comes to ag, let's hear that speech.
So I would say that Pipestone, locally, statewide, nationally, we're probably best known for swine production. Many people are familiar with what the company that used to be called Pipestone Systems, it is now, they've renamed themselves and it's Pipestone Helping Farmers. Basically, it's a system where people buy in shares, they get feeder pigs based on the amount of shares that they own. And it really, you know, that started, I don't know the exact dates, but back in the farming crisis, back in the 80s, that helped a lot of people stay on the farm. Helped a lot of people sustain their family farm, and it gave them a source of income. They didn't have to worry about raising pigs, and it gave them back a whole bunch of time and freedom for them to focus on other things in their operation. They're like feeding out pigs, but just didn't have to have that day-to-day interaction with those. I mean, it obviously very stressful and very labor intensive, farrow to finish. So taking out that farrowing aspect of it and just focusing on the finishing is what people really enjoyed. And like I said, allowed them to focus on other things and really be diversified while keeping hogs a part of that family operation. A lot of people don't know this, but we have a lot of sheep in the area. We're in the top 10 sheep producing counties in the state of Minnesota. We have a lot of seed stock operations. A lot of our sheep flocks, or a lot of people that are raising sheep down here, they compete on a national level. But very competitive sheep producers. We have a lot of commercial operations as well. Dairy, we don't have a lot of dairies. We actually only have 11 in the county, but we have very large dairies. Our average herd size is 450 head. So not a lot of them, but we do certainly have the numbers. And of course, being so close to South Dakota and the I-29 corridor certainly helps. We also have a lot of beef producers in the area. We feed out a lot of cattle. And I would say that statewide and even nationally, Pipestone is very well recognized on the seed stock side of things as well. We have a lot of different breeds within the county. It really surprised me when we think about how much, it's not just one main breed, well, it kind of is one main breed, and that is Angus, Black Angus, of course, here. We got a lot of very well-known Angus herds in the county. But we also have a lot of Red Angus. We've got Hereford. We've got Shorthorns. We've got Keys. We've got Maines. We've got Charolais. I'm sure I'm forgetting a few. But again, people that show statewide, nationally, people know where Pipestone is at because of our beef producers. We have a lot of commercial cow calf producers as well, and then we feed out a lot of cattle. We put up a lot of feed, put up a lot of good feed, and we are able to utilize that and put it into some calves.
So I want to kind of just go a little deeper down one path. I agree. I know Pipestone and the Pipestone area really well known for lots of great, I would just say, general livestock breeders, right? Lots of good hogs, lots of good sheep, lots of good beef cattle. And I know, Melissa, too, that you also, in your role, do some work with the 4-H program. What are the big projects in Pipestone County for livestock? Does it kind of fall into that lots of general livestock? I know there's a lot of Pipestone County kids in the Purple Ribbon Auction and that kind of stuff every year. So just wanting a little window into what 4-H is like in Pipestone County.
So in the 4-H or the youth side of things, because I don't want to just say 4-H, because we have a lot of kids that are very competitive, like in their breed associations on the state and national level. But it kind of goes without saying, like we're very well known for our beef cattle, but then also our heifers. Pipestone County, I mean, I judge numerous shows across the state and county fairs and jackpot shows, and I don't think I've ever come across maybe one other breeding heifer show where they actually divide the heifers up by breeds at the county level. Like that to me just blows my mind. people come from far and wide to watch the Pipestone breeding heifer 4-H show, which it's kind of cool.
It's awesome. Yeah.
It is very cool that we have people been watching these heifers all summer long, and it's like, oh, that heifer got third overall at Junior Nationals. That one, won up at a big show up in North Dakota. That one's been winning at the Swim Fair Farm. Like everybody wants to see all these heifers come together and hash it out on one day, one show ring. We're very proud of that. We also obviously have very good market beef to get up into the auction. Our dairy show is coming back. And I'll be honest, if it wasn't for the Minnesota 4-H lease program, that would have gone to the wayside a long time ago. But we have some phenomenal dairies in the area that are leasing to these kids. And it's kind of neat because we kind of thought, I'm like, oh, some of these dairies, like they were so competitive. We've actually had the champion dairy cow up at Minnesota State Fair a few years back. So very proud of that. And we kind of thought, oh gosh, they're running out of kids and until the grandkids get shown, like, gosh, we're not going to see them for a number of years. But then they started leasing and our numbers took off and our barn is full. And it's amazing to see that come back because dairy numbers across the state obviously are not in the show world are not increasing. So to see that in our county is pretty neat. And then of course we don't have a big swine show, but we have very competitive hogs. So, and our sheep always do amazing, especially we don't have a lot of market lambs, but when they go into their respective breed divisions, it basically becomes like an overall show of the Pipestone kids up at State Fair. Which is neat. We have Katahdin, so they're always cleaning house up at the state fair. So,
yes, the only other place I would see Katahdins and 4-H shows was in Morrison County. So, yes, but Pipestone kind of has the chokehold on those. But I don't know, Joe and Brad, it sounded like we might need to go to the Pipestone County Fair and check out that breeding heifer show. That sounds incredible.
Come early because when it comes to the breeding heifer show, like there isn't us. I mean, it is standing room only. It is like nine people deep, people standing on top of the bleachers. And it's kind of, it's funny, but they slap her on the butt, to crown their, pick their champion heifer. And then everybody kind of disperses. And it's like, wait, there's more to the show. Come back. But that is clearly, that is the highlight of our fair.
That sounds like a great idea. I was actually looking when the fair was. It looks like it's like the first week of August. We might have to moose room road trip to the Pipestone County Fair.
There you go.
I think we're going to do it.
The dairy show is the day before. And like I said, that is, it's a very, very impressive show.
Yes.
Not that I'm partial, but it is a really, really good show.
All right. Well, field trip to the Pipestone County Fair this year, guys.
I don't see why we couldn't. I agree with Emily. This is like, when I think of Pipestone County, I think of livestock. You know, I think there's a lot of livestock in Pipestone County of all different species, but those livestock have to be supported with feed. So talk me through that, Melissa. Where's the feed come from? What are you feeding? And what's kind of what you would say is kind of somewhat unique to either Southwest or most likely to Pipestone County specifically?
So what we have here in Pipestone County, we put up our main crops, our corn, our soybean, and then some grower alfalfa. That is if you're a livestock producer. Otherwise, it pretty much comes down to a corn and soybean rotation. We have a number of folks who are doing small grains. I'm no soil expert, but we are just not. We have very, very heavy productive soil down here in Pipestone County. We're not the best suited to be growing small grains, but we do see a number of folks that are utilizing that for a soil health component and coming in after a corn silage crop. The main things that we are putting up for going into our for our feedlot and our dairies is some sort of ensiled corn. Silage, earlage, we'll put up some, we got haylage, baylage, all of those types of things. We have some people that are, there are a number of folks, and I don't have a rough number of acres or percentage of producers off the top of my head, but a lot more people that are just trying to go the soil health route and incorporating some cover crops, tried some different types of forages back in, we were prevent plant in 2018, 2019, so incredibly wet. Learned a lot of things, good and bad that year. Just people that we weren't accustomed to putting up such wet feed stuff. So, like I said, good and bad. We learned a lot that year, and just some different ensiling practices and how we should be storing some of these wetter feeds. But yeah, the most common thing though that we do, we put up a lot of corn, lots of silage. And while we don't actually have we don't have an ethanol plant in Pipestone County, we are what I would consider close to five different ethanol plants. So lots of ethanol byproducts are fed into our feedlot setting. We're big on distillers, grains, gluten, all of that. We use a lot. It's relatively easy to get, inexpensive, and it works in a lot of different rations for us.
On the social side of ag, we talked a little bit of youth programming and things like that, 4-H and other youth programming, but adults have to socialize too. So what kind of groups are around that in Pipestone that are really worth their weight in gold in terms of either that's cattlemen's groups or other places that people can get together and be with other ag related to people?
So in Pipestone County, we have a very large cattlemen's group, not as large as our other one to the east, but we'll talk about that later. But we do have a number of producers that are in the Pipestone County cattlemen's and doing a lot of promotion and grilling events throughout the county. Our Pipestone County pork producers, that is a very, very large group. And of course, they work together to cover different events, social things and doing the promotion and all that. Our dairy producer group is small, but they do have a booth at the county fair. And so they're promoting their product and the families all take turns. And they've got grandkids coming in to help work that booth. We also have a Farm Bureau who pulls everything together. And of course, we're here to talk about livestock, but we have a very active corn and soybean growers association. They've done a lot in our area in terms of ethanol production, getting that E85 at the pumps, kind of a neat thing there, but and subsidizing a lot of that. But the Farm Bureau group kind of ties everybody together. They do they do a farm safety day. They do a, I don't know what the technical term, what the name is of it, but they do kind of an an all-encompassing egg day in August. So after the Pipestone County Fair, everybody's wiping the dust off everything and relaxing and kind of decompressing. They come in with this event, brings all the groups together. Just, it's like a community egg night. And it kind of went on the back burner with COVID. They're trying to get that back up and going just to bring the community together. Everybody, you know, we've got the soft serve ice cream machine. They're making malts. They are, you know, grilling pork burgers or grilling hamburgers. We've got, corn on the cob. Just kind of a neat thing to showcase to the community. Hey, we thank you for your support. Thank you for shopping local. Thanks for supporting us.
That's awesome. And I'm always looking for those groups, and that's who I end up hanging out with when I travel the state and teach. It's always some kind of cattleman's group or other educational group that's getting together anyway. And I always have a blast at those things. So I love hearing what's available around the state. And if you are looking to get into farming or just to meet people in the community, those are great places to be. I get questions like that every once in a while of like, hey, I'm just starting. I want to have cows. I don't know where to get experience. I don't know where to learn more. And it's like, well, the best place to learn is to jump into the community and find those places where people can tell you mostly what not to do because they figured out that, but also can help you get off the ground because people are more than happy to talk about egg, whatever it is. If you're interested, if you're even maybe slightly considering owning cows, for example, Melissa will tell you everything you need to know because she wants you to be owning cows, preferably Herefords. It's a welcoming environment. And I think that's the place to be, is to find those groups and just jump right in. We kind of talked about some events there. What other events happen in Pipestone that people just shouldn't miss? If they're in the area, what's worth driving for? We've got our heifer show, our breeding heifer show. We know that. What else are we looking for?
You could pretty much set up your camper like starting June 1, I think, actually this year, like all the way to August and just camp out for the summer. We are very proud of our facilities in Pipestone County, and apparently so is everyone else across the state, because we host a lot of junior field days. So whether you want to watch the regional or state Holstein show, or you want to watch the regional Hereford show, Brad, come on down for that, middle of June. We have Pipestone Summer Spectacular. That's an open jackpot show. Red Angus has their regional show here. Semitals have their regional show. The Angus, they vary on what year their region they're meeting in, but they have been here as well. We hold a lot of, there's several dairy shows that happen throughout the summer. With the Water Tower Festival, the middle of June, that's kind of our big town celebration. Yeah, we got a lot of town celebrations, but mostly we have a lot of cattle shows going on. We also have the North Star Sheep Sale takes place here coming up pretty soon. We got a lot of our area purebred breeders are going to be showcasing some of their finest stock at that. So then there's also, I apologize, I don't know the name of it, but we have a meat goat sale here, getting those show goats into the hands of kids. So.
Probably could just park the camper for the summer and not really have to go anywhere to be entertained all summer. There's plenty to do.
And the neat thing about Pipestone that I'm really proud of is just, I grew up just right across the border, and my grandpa was an Angus breeder in this county, and just the camaraderie that everybody has, that they support one another. Like, even if your kid isn't showing a Red Angus heifer, you're going to bring the family in on Saturday and you're going to watch the regional Red Angus show because you're going to watch your neighbor kids and your cousins and your friend's kids show. It just really impresses me how everybody shows up to support one another. And maybe it's set up beforehand, maybe it's tear down afterwards. I just think that you don't always have that in when families get to be so incredibly competitive and good at what they're doing. You don't always see that. So that means a lot to me that everybody does support each other the way that they do.
Yeah. I mean, there's not a whole lot more you can say about a county that is more important. I mean, that sense of community is awesome. And I love hearing that that's there, because it can be tricky. And in certain parts of the state, it's tough, especially when you get a giant spread out county. It can be really tough to develop that community, and people got to work way harder at it. So it's good to hear that there's that community there and they've worked at developing it with all the events that are going on. What else do you need to tell us about Pipestone, Melissa?
I guess some of the things that we've got, I was just going to maybe talk a little bit about some of the challenges that we've got ahead of us. You know, of course, we're all crossing our fingers, hoping and praying for rain. But, you know, with 3 years of perpetual drought, things are looking a little bleak here. So any shot at moisture that we can get, we definitely need it. That definitely kind of put our dairy producers in a world of hurt when we had so much variability, you know, even across a field as far as quality of feedstuffs that we're putting up. And I know that I don't need to get up on my soapbox about this. I know everybody is trying to buy hay and trying to source hay. Like I said, we have very productive farm ground down here, so we're really good at putting up feedstuffs. But with that, we only have it's about 8% of the county is actually in pasture land. And not all of that is even grazed. So we're not in grass county or not in grass production type of county. So we need some moisture to make sure that we can sustain the cow numbers that we have, that we can get some moisture back into that soil, that we can get some good alfalfa crops put up. But just really looking at our beef producers, hopefully that we're not cutting into the herds too much. But I know that with where cull cow prices have been, it doesn't take too much to to talk some of these guys into calling down the herd. And I'm just hopeful that we don't. I know that we're obviously not in as bad a shape as others across the nation are, but I'm just hopeful that we can get some good moistures this spring, so that we can kind of maintain our cow herd numbers, both dairy and beef.
In my mind, when we look at cow-calf production across the state, we usually think of cow-calf production in southeast, like north central, where there's marginal ground, south central as well. But Pipestone County is this little piece in the southwest that is in the top five for number of cows in the state. And it's amazing to think of how they do that with such little amounts of pasture. But that means every pasture needs to be in tip-top shape, which is almost impossible with the amount of rain we've gotten the last few years. So, yeah, I worry about it a lot, especially with that little pasture supporting so many cows. Now, fortunately, there's other feedstuffs that are readily available, but that's not a long-term game. That's a short-term deal to while you try to get these pastures back on board. Man, I don't know what to do with that one, especially when the land is valuable. You're not going to be taking more crop ground and making it into pasture.
Right. And we do send a lot of cows do go out west in South Dakota. We have a lot of people that will send them out for the summer and they'll kind of contract with somebody to care for them for the summer months. And then they'll bring them back. And then a lot of them go right out on corn stalks to take advantage of that sober grazing. And then we'll go into, of course, a dry lot setting. But they're in worse shape than we are, you know, out in western South Dakota. So I'm like, somebody's got to get some moisture. But we're just hopeful it comes eventually.
What else is happening up and coming in Pipestone? I know we're working on moisture. I can't do a ton about that, but we can work on it as much as possible.
Do your rain dance.
Yeah, I'll try. But What else is happening? What are we looking forward to in the future? What's coming in Pipestone as we move forward?
As dry as we are, we've had just beautiful weather. You really can't complain. A lot of people are calving. I mean, a lot of our producers start back in January already, just so that we, you know, for our seed stock guys to get those bulls big enough for their, you know, we got a lot of bull sales going on or that have wrapped up. People will be thinking about planting. Guys are thinking about, you know, if they are going to be doing some small grains that wasn't seeded last fall, they'll be doing that here. We can get into the fields and be doing that. Everybody's kind of in this, just holding out, trying to get through the calving season. Most of our producers are calving now. We got a lot of March calvers right now. So yeah, it'll just be kind of this waiting game. Hopefully we get some moisture and put my little shameless plug in there. Hopefully we've got enough winter feed to carry us over, that we give that grass a fighting chance and at least let it get somewhat, to a height where it can maybe sustain itself. Because last summer, a lot of guys were pulling them off July, you know, early August. We just didn't have the forage to sustain those cows anymore on pasture.
it's a common theme throughout the state, but I think certain counties have seen it hit harder, just because it seems like certain counties are already riding a knife edge of that cow numbers to space ratio. And Pipestone is certainly one of those, not just cows. I mean, livestock in general. So, but yeah, that endless cycle is the tricky part, you know, where you get into, we had to pull them off early last year. Now I've used too much of my winter feed. So now I got to dump them out earlier. So then you just get into this cycle of your grass never catches that momentum it needs. Bradley, I don't know if that's been the case up in Morris with some of the dairy cows where you're, I know you really work hard to wait to put them out, but I feel like that's a pretty common theme around the state, and it's certainly not unique to Pipestone, but it's felt a little harder with the amount of livestock in that county.
No, it's certainly the case up here too in western Minnesota has all been really bad for the whole year. And like Melissa said, you know, 3 years of sustained drought out here has done the same thing a couple hours north, just like it has in the Pipestone area. And farmers are struggling trying to figure it out and what to do. And, you know, buying feed is expensive. Depopulating your herd causes lots of issues into the future that we never think about. So it's just bad all around. Not to be depressing, but it's tough. We need a good year. We need a good year.
Let's get away from the depressing topics. To end, let's end on a good note, Melissa. I feel like it's mostly a social gathering kind of county. That's how we have our fun. Is there anything else?
I grew up next to the county. I've known a lot of these families. I've known their kids since they were babies. And then coming over here, and like when I got to work with coach on the Project Bowl kids, what really stood out to me is that this county, they support their youth just the same way as they would like support athletes. To me, that was the neatest thing, like walking into the vet clinic and, you know, you got your group of old guys leaning on the counter and rather than talking about the football score from last Friday night's game, they want to know how the Project Bowl kids did. Like, how do the livestock judging kids do? I mean, that is what Pipestone is really known for. Like those kids, like they're competitive in and out of the show ring. And when it comes to Project Bowl and like livestock judging, our kids have gone on so many national trips. It's like, I'm jealous. We never had those opportunities. I mean, in South Dakota 4-H. So that these kids are so competitive at such a young age just really blows my mind.
I'm going to add a question that I'm going to ask every time we highlight a county. I'm going to ask for this because it's 100% selfish, 100% selfish. I just want to know because I have a huge affinity for diners and cafes that serve great breakfast food. That place where there's regulars there and you walk in and if you are not from there, the first thing you do is you ask the waitress, where can I sit where I'm not going to be in a regular's way? I don't want to take anyone's table or seat at the bar. So is there a place like that in Pipestone County?
There was.
Oh.
Yeah. It was a 24-hour diner. Oh. It closed about a year and a half ago. It was Lang's, and they were best known for their cinnamon rolls. They always supplied the cinnamon rolls to the Pipestone County Fair, and then the 4-H'ers sold them in the their little food stand there. It was known far and wide, and like what places in Southwest Minnesota are open 24/7. And yeah, it was always filled with locals, and they couldn't find enough people to staff it. So yeah, about a year and a half ago, it closed. So now we got McDonald's.
Well, I was trying to end on a high note here, but we're not doing it.
But hey, on my many journeys around the state, I have stopped at that Pipestone McDonald's more than once, and it is always a lifesaver when I'm on the road. So don't diss it.
Well, it sounds like there's an opportunity for a really good cafe, diner, something like that that's involved in the agricultural community down there. Hopefully someone will pick that up. It's a huge like guilty pleasure of mine, scheduling an extra hour in a trip, getting up early just so I can skip breakfast, go somewhere, eat at one of those diners, and then go on with my day. So I'm going to keep asking that question, and hopefully we can end on high notes in the future.
Sorry.
All good. All right. Last thoughts. Emily, Brad, questions for Melissa.
I just want to say thanks for coming on. And I am pretty convinced the three of us are going to show up at the Pipestone County Fair this year for the 4-H breeding heifer show. So
I would love that. That would be great.
We'll find all those Hereford breeders so we can add it to our numbers.
That's right. Only interview them. That is correct.
We'll get those Herefords in the number one spot soon. All right, Emily, wrap us up.
All right. If you have any questions, comments, or scathing rebuttals about today's episode, you can email those to themooseroom@umn.edu, or you can leave us a voicemail at 612-624-3610. Find us on the web, extension.umn.edu, and find us on Twitter, @UMNMooseroom and @UMNFarmSafety. And as always, find Bradley on Instagram @UMNWCROCDairy.
Woo!
That's a wrap.
All right. Thank you, Melissa. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.